Okay, good vach, everybody. It's an incredible schus. Incredible schus to be back together. Very special schus. First of all, before we begin, I want to thank Julia, who always helps so much in making sure that we can have shir and sending out the beautiful posters. And it's the first time we're having shir in a long time, but also the first time we're having shir together, I believe, since she became a kala. So I want to wish public mazel tov, and yishbizocha, you and your chassan and Benji, to build the Bais HaMisrael. Mali simcha, mali bracha, mir tashem. So it's really, it's a schus to be back together. It was a long time. Baruch Hashem, I'm sure many have been doing beautiful things over the summer, but we haven't been together in a while. You know, in Elul is a time of tshuva. Scary to say we're in Elul, right? But we're in Elul. Elul is a time of tshuva. Tshuva means to return. There's a lot of meanings in what that is. We'll talk about it tonight a little bit. But this is also returning. It's also important just to take note, to return to a kviyas itim l'Torah that we have every other week, as often as we can, whatever it might be. But especially when you take a big break. Sometimes in life, when you have something that's special to you, something that helps you grow, and then you take a break, often it's hard to get back. You know, when we're in routine and we're going and then we stop, it's often hard to get back. So this is always, you know, the first shir I always felt over the years. We've been having this shir for years already. I don't even know how many years. We have to figure that out. But always the first shir after the summer is always very special to me. First of all, it's just been a while, and always learning together is very special. But also, it shows how chashuv this is, that we could return back to it. And even if we're involved in all different other important pursuits, to come back to what's important to our growth together, Baruch Nias, and hopefully Bez Hashem, we'll continue to grow together. And really, it's a beautiful Rambam that we're b'makayim tonight. The Rambam says in Hilchos Talmud Torah, some of us learned this over the summer, some of us were together in different venues, different places over the summer, in Hask and other places. And the Rambam says in the third parak of Hilchos Talmud Torah, the fourth halacha, Hayu lefanav asiyas mitzvah v'talmud Torah. You have the ability to learn Torah and to perform a mitzvah. You have a time you should be learning. You have a time that you're set aside to learn. You're supposed to learn. And if that mitzvah is some sort of chesed that other people can do, let them do it. You're sitting and learning. You have a shir that you always go to, and someone else could do that chesed. Lo yafsik talmudu. Don't stop learning. Let others do the mitzvah. You're doing your mitzvah, they're doing their mitzvah. Im lav, but let's say no one else can do it. No one else can do that particular mitzvah. Yasa mitzvah. Adam la'amal yulad. Man was created to toil. La'amal is Rashi Tevos. Lilmod al menas la'asos. That all of learning is so that we take it into our practical life. So you have a mitzvah to do and no one else is going to do it. Oh, I could be learning. No, stop and go do the mitzvah. And therefore, maybe over this summer, we haven't had our shir, and we were all involved, I hope, in many other mitzvos. Many other different beautiful pursuits that were meaningful, that were purposeful. But the Rambam continues. There's two more very important words to this Rambam. The Rambam is a very important Rambam. In the importance of helping others, and doing for others, and being involved in mitzvos. But after you finish that mitzvah, the Rambam then says, Vayachzer l'talmudo. Then go back to your learning. Don't forget about going back to your learning. Vayachzer l'talmudo. And I feel we're being mekayim this Rambam tonight in a very beautiful way. We've been on vacation from this shir for, I don't know how many exact weeks, probably about 2 months. Maybe it's 7 weeks, I don't know exactly. But definitely a while. And we've been involved in whatever it might be, but we're yachzer l'talmudo. I'm looking forward, coming upon a new year, looking forward to a big year of growth and a big year of chizik together. Bez Hashem is Baruch. Now, so it was Rosh Chodesh Elul. Thursday was really the last day of Av. It was Rosh Chodesh Elul started. Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Today was the second day. We're now in the third day of Elul already. It's already moving by, like everything else. Like before you know it, we're gonna be Rosh Hashanah. So we have to grab on to Elul. So last Shabbos we were Mevarchin Chodesh Elul. And whenever we're Mevarchin Chodesh Elul, I remember a very special woman that had supposed to live above many years ago. When I was just married, first few years of my marriage, so we lived in Kew Garden Hills. It was a very beautiful time in my life. A lot of beautiful chaverim there. And we lived in a garden apartment. It was one door and you had two floors. Right, so you walked in and there was an apartment on each side. You go up one floor and an apartment on each side. We were on the top left, 13718 Jewel Avenue. And I was once talking about that. And the shiur was given, and afterwards a woman came over to me, and a beautiful woman, she says, "Oh, I'm living in your apartment." So, and we had this underneath us, right underneath us, this is a very beautiful, wonderful woman. Her name was Mrs. Grossman. Actually, one of her granddaughters, part of our chevra, she listens to the shiurim from Beit Shemesh. Her father, Mrs. Grossman's son, is an old friend of mine, Seth. So Mrs. Grossman lived right underneath me. And I'll never forget, she used to Shabbos afternoon, she'd take a chair and sit outside, enjoy maybe reading, maybe talking to whoever would walk by. And the Shabbos Mevarchin Elul, and she always went to shul, she davened in the Yangidu of Kiyar Hills. And I walked downstairs and Mrs. Grossman, good Shabbos, how you doing? She looks at me, I'm not so happy today. I said, what do you mean? Shabbos, beautiful. She says, I went to shul and I was there by Mavarach and Chaydesh and they Mavarach and Chaydesh, Elul. And I looked around and nobody was crying. Nobody was trembling. Didn't feel any pachad in the air. She looked at me and she was emes. She was serious. She says, I remember in Europe that when we were mevarchin chodesh Elul, the fish in the sea would be trembling. You might have read that somewhere. I heard this from someone who was there. That's what she said to me. And she was disturbed here that it was like any other mevarchin chodesh. She was disturbed. And emes says, that's a way we look at Elul, perspective of Elul, a mindset of Elul that many have, that it's supposed to be a time of pachad, a time of fear, a time of worrying. After all, we're about to be judged. After all, we're coming upon a very serious court case. I have a very close chaver of mine. He's been preparing to go to Beis Din with somebody, I don't want to give the details, whatever it is, to go into Beis Din over $560,000. $560,000, pretty nice sum of money. So he's been preparing like mamish night and day and worrying about this case because, again, dependent on how Beis Din judges, this case could be a difference of literally $560,000. So he has daiga, he's nervous, he's worried, he's pachad. You know how much bigger our court case is that's coming upon us? You know how much bigger our day in court is? Our whole year is being determined. What type of bracha, what type of simcha, what type of nachas? What is our year going to be like? So on one end, that could be very serious. That should be very serious. And that many svarim talk about that. I read a Torah this week. It's from Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, coming up from the Ber Mayim Chaim. Ber Mayim Chaim was a very holy Yid, a very holy Jew. He was the Talmud of the Maggid of Mezrich. He lived the last years of his life in Tzvat. Maybe some of you, if you've been in the cemetery in Tzvat, I'm sure many of you have, if not all of you. And you davened, right? So you go in Darizal and Rebbe Yosef Cairo, Shlomo Alkabetz, Baal Chadoidi. And a little bit below him there's a cave in the Ber Mayim Chaim. He's also known, that was the Sefer, he's also known as the Siddur Shel Shabbos. He had a tremendous love for Shabbos, a tremendous love for Eretz Yisrael, obviously in those years, to spend the last years of his life in Eretz Yisrael. Bermayim Chaim, I have it. I was going to read the whole Torah, but it's a very long Torah, so I'll just tell it to you. I'll paraphrase, which really puts the same perspective we're explaining. He compares the neshama as a bas melech. The neshama, the soul, is the daughter of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We know the Baal Tanya, we've spoken about it many times of the year, calls the neshama chelek elokam yamal, part and parcel of Hashem. Our children are part and parcel of us. There's no question. He calls the neshama, he says, the neshama hakadosha and his hadnidna ba'adam, the holy soul that's placed in each and every one of us, she barsa de malka, bas melech oylam and baruchu v'rach shemo, hanechbad v'hanoira, v'yafa. He says, this neshama is the daughter of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's beautiful, it's perfect, it's incredible. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the neshama, he lays this out so beautifully, puts the neshama into our guf, into our body. And not to any of the angels, they don't have this neshama. They're not zocha, the angels, the malachim, they're not zocha to have this neshama, this beautiful soul, this daughter of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And what are we supposed to do with this neshama? We're supposed to take care of the neshama, he says. We're supposed to feed the neshama. We're our guf is the home for the neshama. So what does the neshama enjoy? How's the neshama sustained? What's the sustenance of the neshama? Torah and mitzvahs. It says Torah and mitzvahs is its mazon, its chiyuso, its life. It says mitzvahs, we want to clothe it. We want to give it clothing full of respect. Those are the Ramach mitzvos, the 248 mitzvos that are levushim, the Ramach avarei neshama, the 248 limbs of the neshama, meirosh av aragla, from its head to its foot. And we have to make sure that we're not nichshol in averos, that are mazik the neshama. The neshama gets damaged when we're involved in averos, when we're lazy, when we don't daven the way we're supposed to be davening. We don't speak with the proper derech eretz, the way we're supposed to be speaking to our parents, to our friends. When we speak about things that we shouldn't be speaking about. When we don't live up to who we're supposed to be. So it's mazik, the neshama. And the neshama then doesn't have its sustenance, doesn't have its life. All it's yearning for. And he goes on to explain that. And when we even if we're performing mitzvot, but it's out of anashim milumada, mitzvot anashim milumada, it's just out of rote and mechanical. So the neshama is lacking. And then he says, and you know what else? So again, understand this muscle of the Bermachayim. He says, Kadosh Baruch Hu has a daughter, and he trusts each and every one of us with this daughter, this beautiful daughter. He trusts each and every one of us to take care of the daughter. To watch the daughter, to feed the daughter. And that's through Torah mitzvahs. And not to damage the daughter. And then one time a year, he continues, the Melech Malchim Lachim, the King of all kings, wants to see the daughter. Wants to visit the daughter. Wants to see how the daughter's doing. Wants to see the home of the daughter. Then on Rosh Hashanah, every single one of us passes right before the Ribbono Shel Olam. Every one of us. It's a Beferish Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Every one of us passes right in front of Hashem. And Hashem wants to see how we're doing. How are we doing with that mission? How are we taking care of His daughter? How are we doing? And we realize this now. We think about this now. So now we know, in a few more weeks, we're about to stand and pass right before Hashem with His daughter that He entrusted to us. Vim bal seichul yir v'yamim akodim l'takein anisham k'sas. L'hoyrel over p'nei l'abroisim ma'am ha'b'varam ha'p'nimim b'eis ha'kator k'roi l'abisha b'chavu b'mitzvos. So then we recognize, we think about it, that we're about to pass in front of Hashem. He's about to look at us and see how we're doing with that daughter. How are we doing with our neshama? Big time of introspection. And for many of us, I'm just talking to myself, that's scary. Am I really living up to who I could be? Am I really taking care of the Rabbeinu Shalom's daughter in the way that I can? If we stopped and thought about that, right? I'm sure everybody here in this room at some point has babysat for somebody. Whether it's a younger sibling, whether it's a family friend, whether it's a cousin. And like, it's, you understand, it's your responsibility. And you know those times, I'm sure, come on, it's happened to all of us at some point, and like, something happens, and it's not even your fault, right? But something happens, like, you're there, you're watching, you were doing a good job, but the kid fell and he got like a little cut. That ever happened to you, you know? Right? Totally out of your hands, but like, your mom, your whole world just stops. Because you feel terrible, it was under your care. And you were the one who was supposed to be responsible. And now you feel like this person's going to think you're the most irresponsible person in the world. Even though you had nothing to do with it. A kid is a kid. He's going to run around. I remember Mamish. Even my own kid, right? Because you feel this way for your own kid when your wife's awake. So I had my son Shmuel, who's now 22 years old. So he was just like starting to walk. He was probably about 10 months old. Shmuel was like, from the time he was born, like a wild kid, you know? Baruch Hashem, in a beautiful way. I shouldn't say wild. He wasn't wild. It's a bad... He wasn't wild. He was just like all over the place and just... Lebedek. Full of life. Full of energy. Not wild. Full of life. Full of energy. He still is. Like, you can't stop him for a minute, you know? He's in Eretz Yisrael. He's probably still up now because he doesn't, you know, he just... And somehow he found Eretz Yisrael the same exact way. I don't know, you know? Not sure if that's a good thing or bad. No, it's a beautiful thing. They're beautiful, but yeah, you know. Life's very lebedik. So he's not, he doesn't stop, he never stop moving. And I'm like watching him. And I remember this is like when he was walking, it was like one of the first times I'm watching him and my wife is away somewhere, whatever it was. Anyway, he runs into my bedroom. He was just starting to walk a little bit ago. So he trips over his feet, goes head first into the night table, into the corner of the night table, and he cuts open his head. And he's bleeding badly. And I look at his head, and I'm pretty good. I see that this is not just a band-aid, you know, this is stitches. This is gonna be stitches. It was the first about 10 times, but okay, that's how Shmuel is. But it was the first, right? And he's like your Bechar, and like he's everything, and I'm Mamish. So right away, first, I'm like, okay, I gotta do what I gotta do, and I quickly had there was a tzaddik that lived the block behind me, Rabbi Ofi Nat, and he's part of Atzala. I mean, I was living in Queens at the time. Every other door is Atzala, you know, over there in Kiron Hills. But Lemaisa, so I run with my son to him, and I'm like, take a look at this, what's the deal? I think it's like, yeah, the stitches. Let me take you, we'll take you. There's a small ER in Forest Hills. And we'll get, and I'm going to call the plastic surgeon to meet you there. We'll take care of it. Boom. It was unbelievable how quick. It was a mamish. He takes us. We're there 5 minutes later. The plastic surgeon comes. 20 minutes later, he's finished. He's all stitched up. We come. We're home. He's fully stitched before my wife even comes home. I don't call it. She doesn't even know. I don't want to scare her. She's not there. Like, what? She's not, you know, I'm going to make her nervous, right? So my wife comes home. How'd it go? How was watching Shmuel? How's that? You know, like, it was one of, you know, you're a new father. I don't know what I'm doing. She doesn't trust me really yet, and she's right. And yeah, it was great. And my mama said, like, a pachad a year. Now, there's nothing I could have done about that. It's not like, you know, you can't pad your entire apartment. But Lemaisa, under my care, I felt terrible. And I knew my wife, Baruch Hashem, she understands. She's not going to, but like, you feel like you're, it's how much more so each and every one of us. Kadosh Baruch Hu trusts us with his daughter, with his neshama. And here we're going to come once a year. He wants to see how we're doing. How's your babysitting? How's it going? Let's be real. How many of us don't have a pachad? Have we lived up to who we could be? Have we taken care of that neshama in the way that we could have? Scary. And we have still a few weeks, and that's the whole avodah, what most svarim talk about. That's this time of the year, and that's the avodah to work on ourselves and to grow and to do tshuva and to work on things. And that's all true. And I'm sure on some level that talks to each and every one of us and should be mechazik us and should inspire us and should lift us up. But I'll be honest, I think there's a different approach. It's not what I really want to talk about tonight. For those of you that did it and got some chizik, I got some chizik. I mean, hopefully it should, and that's beautiful and wonderful, and it's all emes shavamito. We definitely have to live up to everything we just described and understand that that's what Elul is as we prepare for Rosh Hashanah. But there's another way of looking at Rosh Hashanah in these days. And I think for our dor more than ever, this is the way we should look at it. This is a different way of coming to be miskasher to Hashem. A different way to connect to Hashem during these holy days of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. Because that's what it's all about, just reconnect to Hashem. So we could get there through being nervous and recognizing he's about to look at me and how I've done over this past year and watching his daughter. But there's another way. I want to read to you the words of the Sefer HaChinuch. When he talks about the Yontif of Rosh Hashanah. Because when you talk about Elul, you're really not talking about Elul. You're talking about Rosh Hashanah because it's just a full month to prepare for Rosh Hashanah. And that's actually Tu Ben Yom Kippur. So you can only understand Elul and the voice of Elul if you understand Rosh Hashanah. Right? That's clear. There's no avod of Elul without understanding Rosh Hashanah. That's the avod, is Rosh Hashanah. There's no kala that's getting ready for her wedding day without having a wedding, right? Without having a chasen. It doesn't work. There's no hachana, right? You have to... So there's no Elul b'li Rosh Hashanah. And it's only in terms of understanding Rosh Hashanah could you understand what Elul is all about. So one way is how we just described. That's the way the Ber Maim Chaim explains Rosh Hashanah and the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah. But there's another way. And I think this is a way that's uplifting and could talk to each and every one of us and practically change this L for each and every one of us. Listen to what the Sefer HaChinuch says. If you want to, it's a mitzvah Shin Yud Aleph in the Sefer HaChinuch, if you want to look it up and see it for yourself and share it. People, because I think what we just described till now are most people's perspective, okay, maybe not with that mushel exactly, but of what Rosh Hashanah Elul is, a scary time of judgment. Scary time of judgment. But there's another approach. Sefer HaChinuch says, "Misharshei mitzvos hamoed hazeh." At the root of understanding this yontiv of Rosh Hashanah is shahaya mechas de'akel al bruyav. That this yontiv of Rosh Hashanah, and therefore all of Elul to prepare for it, which we'll get to in a minute, is part of the chesed that Hashem has for His creations. Lifkodosam, to remember them. Vileros maaseyam, and to look at their deeds, their actions, their maisim, yom echad b'chol shana v'shana, one day every single year. One day, so far that sounds very scary. How's that a chesed? How's that a chesed? That's scary. So he explains, kidei shelo yisrabu havonos kol kach, so that we don't pile up and do way too many averos, made way too many, stains on who we are, and there will still be v'yimakum l'kapara. And therefore, being that it's one day every single year, this room, this place for atonement. V'hu rav chesed mate klape chesed, and therefore he is an abundance of kindness, leaning towards kindness. V'kevan shei mu'atim ma'vir lehim, since there are so few, because every year he's doing this to us, every year he's checking, every year he's judging, doesn't give enough time for that much to pile up. Oh, just a few, we could clean that, we could take care of that, we could cleanse that. even if there are some sins that we do, Hashem will cleanse them and take care of them little by little, nothing too major. Like in Gemara Avodah Zarah, Ohavo nifrim imenu ma'amat. When someone's in love, even if you have to take some sort of consequences, little by little. Vim lo yefkedem adzman rav. But if Hashem wouldn't remember us and wouldn't judge us yearly, but would wait a very long time, Yisrabu kol kach ad shi yischev ha'olam k'mat kalya chalila. Our averos would add up so much so that it wouldn't be salvageable. It would be just too much. We'd be so blackened by them that it would be a place of destruction, God forbid. You know, like how it is, you have a dress, you have a blouse, you have a skirt. So it's never a fun thing, especially on Shabbos when you can't do anything about it and you get a stain, you know? You know how it is, right? Let's be real. It's all happened to us all. Right? So you went and you got some beautiful new dress and, I don't know, Chveis Nishtim Fame or whatever does it for you. Junies is reopened, right? Yeah. Anyways, Lamaisa, I have a lot of daughters, okay? I'm holding. And then you got this, it's brand new. You're excited to wear it. And Shabbos, and like, Shabbos, we eat a lot and not everything is, and you get dirty. And Shabbos is very hard because, you know, like, you can't do anything about it. You just have to, like, get itself. Wow, what a schus to be a yid. To not clean off a stain on Shabbos, koyedish kedoshim, right? Because then you know it's going to penetrate and who knows what it's going to be like. But that's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful schus to not clean a stain on Shabbos. Like, Akash Baruch Hu, you're above it. I want to be doing that. You're above it. You're above it. It's beautiful. But so if it's one little stain, usually you'll take it to the cleaner or whatever, you'll take care of it. But mamish, if like the stains start piling up and it's gone. It's not fixable. Just throw the dress in the garbage. It is what it is. You find a new one. Like it's a point where it's not salvageable anymore. Right? Or, you know, like whatever it might be. Yeah, even let's not talk. You have like a sweatshirt that you love and like you're wearing it for years and it starts to rip a little bit here and on the, you know, on the edges on the fridge over here. And for a while, you're like, yeah, but I wear it. But it's like my comfortable sweatshirt. Like, I've been wearing this for years, right? Back from, like, I don't know, 8th grade graduation. And I still, like, feel good that I fit in it, you know? And it starts, but eventually, like, it tears so much that it's like, your mother's like, no, you can't pull that off anymore. It's over. Like, garbage. Too many rips. Too much. The Eibishter doesn't want that to happen to us. And he knows nobody's perfect. Ein tzadik bar shel yechta. So he gives us a day, Rosh Hashanah, to fix us. Slowly, and it's not going to be that much, because it's only over that little time period of a year, which in the grand scheme of things is very small. Nimso, we find, let's finish the chinuch, Shayom HaNechbar Hazeh, Hu Kiyuma Shel Olam. The whole world only continues to exist because of this day. This allows the world, that allows you and I to continue to go, or we'd have to be thrown out, it would be too much. Ulechein, and therefore roilas also so yom tov. That's why we make Rosh Hashanah into yom tov. We eat and we drink and we enjoy. Ulechios b'minyan moed Hashanah yakarim. It's part. It's counted as one of the precious yom tovim. Of course, at the same time, he ends mitzad shu yom adin ladun kochai. It's still a day of judgment, and therefore lamar bo beyir v'fachad yosu mikal shar moed Hashanah. There's an element of fear and awe that. Of pachad and that is connected to it. Everything the Ber Mayim Chaim said is also emes. But what a schus to have a Rosh Hashanah! How incredible! And by the way, if you read the end of the Ber Mayim Chaim, really says similar. But it's a whole different way of looking at it. We don't look at it like I can't believe I have this judgment in front of Ribbono Shel, and I know I've messed up so much all year, and I haven't lived up to last. I remember last year Rosh Hashanah. All the kabbalas I took, all that I wanted to be, and the way I wanted to daven, the way I wanted to dress, and the way I wanted it to be, and like I didn't live up to any of them. What's going to be? No. Hashem's giving you this day because He loves you, and He wants to cleanse you. He wants to purify you. He wants to take it. If not, He wouldn't have it yearly. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. In other words, don't think of it, oh my gosh, I'm so afraid of it. What a schus to have this day. So yeah, but I understand it's still a day of judgment, so I'm going to do everything I can. But I realize it comes from such a beautiful place. It comes because that judge, that king, is my father. That judge, that king, the Melech Malchem Lachem, the Dayan Emes, is also Avinu. It's also my Tatz and Hemel. And he loves me, and that's why he gave me a Rosh Hashanah. That's what Sefer Chinuch is saying. That judge is my father. That's amazing. So I'm going to look at this, and I'm going to go in to Simcha Rabba. I know it's going to be good. That's why he gave me the day. He gave me the day to give me Kapara. That's what the day was. You know, what is Rosh Hashanah? So some say Rosh Hashanah is the creation of the world, right? Hayoyim haras ha'olam, we're going to daven. Man was created on Rosh Hashanah. That's what makes it the beginning of the year. But this is another way to look at this time period. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is obviously one long time period. Tishrei Teshuvah. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning, ended in Yom Kippur. What happened in Yom Kippur? On Yom Kippur, v'solachti kidvarecha. After Chet Ha'egel, when did we gain atonement? When did Moshe Rabbeinu bring the second luchos? Yom Kippur, and it became therefore a time of slicha, a time of kapara, a time of atonement. And Hashem therefore made it this yontif then. Say, I want to give you atonement again. I want to cleanse you. I want you to feel light. I don't want you to feel heavy from all the misdeeds of the year. I want you to feel light again. I want to give you this opportunity. I want to give it to you. Of course, that takes also responsibility upon us. Of course, that reminds us, and therefore, besimcha, I have to work on myself, and I have to give the Rabbanu Shalom and say, you're giving me this day, you're giving me this opportunity. Of course, I'm going to try my best to work on myself in whatever way each and every one of us can. Of course, I'm going to grow. Of course, I'm going to, whatever way it is, of course, to work on my davening, to work on my midos, to work on my learning, to work on whatever, everybody in their own, it's not for me to tell anybody here what I have enough to work on myself. I'm going to tell you what to work on. You all know. Everybody look in the mirror. You know what you individually need to work on right now. Everybody has. We all have. Be real. Be honest. You're all beautiful. Nashim Zikanios. You're much more special than I am. But at the same time, you all have what to work on. Be honest. We're mortal human beings. We have what to work on. We're all imperfect. So whatever that is, do it but to be simcha, not to be worried. Because Hashem gave us this day to cleanse us. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's an opportunity. It's incredible. Be so excited for it. It's the greatest matana. It's the greatest gift. Maybe this pshat is based on a Torah sefer that told us Aaron of Zitmer. Elul, Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed are the words lo, Lamed, Aleph, Lamed, Vav, right? Lo, which means no or not, and Lamed, Vav means to him. There are a lot of Torahs on this. But that's Elul is made up. El's the combination of those two words. So based on Tulzar, and he says, because the avoid of El is first, you think to yourself, day of judgment, Rosh Hashanah, like the Ber Ma'achayim, I can't even come close to Hashem, what am I going to do? How am I going to face him? What am I going to do? Lo, I can't do it, I can't. Bonish, I'm so big, I'm so small. Lo, no. But then you come to realize a little bit later, when you really think about it, Kadosh Baruch Hu is my father. He's giving me this for all the reasons we just described. I might not have lived up to who I should have been, but lo, I could connect. Lo, Lamavav, I could be connected to him. I realize Hashem wants me to connect to him. I realize he wouldn't have given me this day if he didn't want me to connect to him. I realize I have opportunity to connect to him. I realize I have an in. He's my father. The greatest thing, you know, you always, whenever you want to meet someone special, who have an in, right? It's like back in the day when Donald Trump was president, who knows what will be again. Somehow every yid had an in. Like everyone knows someone that was by the Hanukkah party, right? Like, because everybody, when it's Donald Trump, everybody had an in. And it's choshev to have an in, to go to the White House, to be at the Hanukkah party, take a selfie with Donald Trump. You know, it's people are excited, you have an in. So first you think, the Melech Malchim, love him, the judge, lo, not, how am I going to do it? No way. Then you realize, lo, no, to him, I can connect to him. Because I really will. I have a big in. I'm a bas melech. It's my father. It's my tata. And he's given me his time to cleanse me. This whole time, and all of El is just to prepare for that. It's an amazing Torah. Bnei Yisachar says, if you take from Rosh Chodesh El until Yom Kippur, So there are 40 days, right? That's the Soife Tevos of Anila Dodi V'Dodili. Right? The Rosh Tevos are Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed. What are the Soife Tevos? Ani L'Dodi V'Dodili, all Yud. Ani, Yud, L'Dodi, Yud. Ani L'Dodi, V'Dodi, Yud, Li. All Yud. What's Yud plus Yud plus Yud plus Yud? 10 plus 10 plus 10 plus 10, pretty easy one, right? 40. Because those are the days, 40 days from Rosh Chodesh El till Yom Kippur. How many hours? This is a little harder. Let's see, anyone good at math over here? How many hours are in those 40 days? We could do quick. Come on, anybody? No, nobody's studying math at all. Nobody's 40 times 24. Thank you, beautiful. 960. So there are 960 hours during this time period. 960 hours. Going quickly, we're already 48 in. Probably by now we're already got 50 in. 960 hours. So everybody here knows that for a mikvah, you need 40 saw of water, right? 40 saw of rainwater. We have much more in our mikvahs, but you need at least 40 saw of rainwater. That's the amount, that's the shear, that's the measurement in a mikvah. I'm sure you've all heard that and learned that at some point. But there's another measurement, another halachic measurement of liquid. It's called lugin, a lug. Maybe you've heard that term, a lug. In every saw, there are 24 lugin. Every saw has 24 lugin. So how many lugin are in the mikvah? There are 40 saw, 40 times 24, the same 40 times 24. It's pretty easy. 960 lugin in the mikvah. So there are 960 hours from the beginning of Elul till Yom Kippur, connected opposite the 960 lugin that are in the mikvah, to tell us there's one big mikvah. What is a mikvah? A place of tahara, a place of purity. The mikvah is a place of hischadshus, of a new beginning. Somebody who becomes a ger, somebody who comes a ger, goes into a mikvah. You can't become a ger without going into a mikvah. It's a biri chadash, you're a new being. Somebody's tameh, to be tar, goes into a mikvah. You're a new person. This is our biggest mikvah of the year. These 40 days. 960 lugin, 960 hours of these days. Hashem wants us to be pure. He wants us. It's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful time of Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li for each and every one of us. Hashem's giving it to us. That means Hashem loves us so much. Hashem's our Father. Hashem's giving it. But it takes two to tango. You know, I talk all the time when I'm dealing with Nashim Zikanios and with beautiful young men, whatever it might be, when and they're dating. And sometimes it happens, you know, sometimes it happens where the, you know, a couple's dating and one of them ends it and the other one really didn't want to end it. Sometimes it's obvious and both sides are on the same page, right? And both sides say, okay, it's not shaykh. But sometimes one, either, you know, the guy, the girl is very into it, and the other side says, no, no, not shaykh, you know? It's hard. It's hard. It's very hard on the person that wanted to continue. So one of the chizuks that give each and every person when they're having a hard time with that is, you know, when it comes to a true, beautiful relationship, for it to work, it takes two to tango. You don't want someone who doesn't love you. You don't want to end up, I mean, you might think so highly of this individual, but if the individual, for whatever reason, right or wrong, is not excited, that's, you deserve better. You want to be in a relationship that as much as you love, you're loved. That's an amistic relationship. That's what a real relationship is. And you have to realize, if this person's not into it, you don't want that. Don't think you want that. You don't want that anymore. That's not what you want. The Eibishter loves each and every one of us. The Eibishter loves, and He's giving to us. And the biggest way, He's giving us the Rosh Hashanah because He loves us, to purify us. He gives us opportunity so we don't fall and hit a point where it's not salvageable. So that's beautiful and wonderful. You should feel that, but we have to love Him back. We love Him back by showing us and growing in whatever area we can. It doesn't mean you don't have to change every little thing about yourself to show love, but show something. I'm going to do something different over Elul. Something that I understand these are precious days. Something that I understand I'm about to walk in front of you and show you how I'm doing as taking care of your beautiful daughter. Something. Just realize how much Hashem loves us. We're His children. And we're taking care of His children. You know, I was reminded of, I've been reading this book. Incredible book. There's so many different lessons I've been finding. I've just reading it today, and it reminded me of the story. This book, it's called Still. Moshe Weinberger on Tisha B'Av mentioned it, read this incredible story from it. I had to get it just for that story. But then I'm like, I have to read it also. And it's really special. It's a book that this woman writes about her family. Her family, her father really being raised in North Dakota, South Dakota, in the early 1900s, how they came here to get away from Europe, and incredible. And her father served in the American Army during World War II, and incredible against the Nazis, like incredible stuff, really incredible story, and how he stood strong for Yiddishkeit in like ways that are unwavering, unbelievable, really. I was sitting today just crying. I don't know if it's the Shabbos, you're not really supposed to cry, but I couldn't not. It was like story after story. It was unbelievable. A lot of it, the section I was up to today was all about the war, and I was remembering a story that I heard years ago, also about war, because it was a little bit gory, but people were, you know, war is real. People die. So I remember the story that I heard years ago about the Vietnam War. I shared this years ago, but there was a family, and their son, Jimmy, was serving in Vietnam. And it wasn't like today. You know, today, if you have a son in the army, you probably hear from him daily because you have WhatsApp and, like, you know. This was years and years ago, and there was no communication. You have no idea what's going on. You have no idea if your child's alive, well, injured. You're just davening and praying. And the war's going on, and eventually the war was coming to a close. And one day, they get a phone call from Jimmy. They were so excited to hear their son, and he's alive. And he says, Ma, or Dad, it was his father actually, Dad. He says, Dad, I'm coming back, I'm coming home. Jimmy, we can't wait, we're so happy, we've been praying. When you're coming home, we'll have a boat coming. I arrive at the dock in 1 week's time, or whatever exactly it was. I can't wait to see you. How's Mom doing? And they have a little conversation. He says, I'm only allowed to use the phone for 3 minutes, whatever it was. He says, Dad, you know, I met this friend of mine over here, Joe. Wonderful guy. We became very super close. And unfortunately, he has no family. And we just had this war, and it was heart-wrenching. I can't explain. You know, I don't even know if I could ever tell you some of the stories that we went through. But Joe, you know, he has no family. Could I bring him home to us to have a warm bed, to have some good warm food, to just feel part of a family for a little bit, and just stay a little bit after war? I feel like it would be nice. And the father says to Jimmy, a friend of yours is our friend. Of course, bring him home. We just can't wait to see you. We'll bring Joe with you. He says, Dad, you're amazing. Thank you. It's so sweet of you. I just want to tell you something. You know, Joe, unfortunately, he was in a tank and it was hit and he was injured very badly. And he lost one leg completely. His father said, okay, I understand, that's sad. They took care of him. Yeah, he's good. They brought him quickly to the hospital, emergency. He's good, he's alive, he's well, he lost. Okay, no problem. Bring him home. We'll take care of him. Dad, but he also, you know, on this other leg from the knee down is also amputated. Just want you to know. All right, Jimmy, it's okay. And also, just one last thing. One of his arms up to the shoulder, he also lost. At that point, the dad doesn't comment. He says, Jimmy, you know, of course we want to be opening into your friend and caring, but you know, you have your sister at home, your younger sister, and what you're describing, I don't know if she'd be able to handle seeing that. It's a little bit too much. I don't know if that's a good idea. Maybe just, you know, maybe eventually, but maybe tell you, could you, no, okay, Dad, I totally get it, no problem. We'll find another, Joe could find another place. He told me it's not a big deal. Yeah, if that's okay. No, it's fine. I get it, don't worry. I'll see you in a week, Dad. Love you. Week goes by, and Jimmy's parents are waiting by the dock. The boat's coming in. And all the soldiers are coming off. You could tell, exhausted from war. Some of them somewhat injured, some of them with patches in different places. And they're waiting, and soldier after soldier, soldier Jimmy. They're waiting for Jimmy. Where's Jimmy? Where's Jimmy? And everybody, it looks like everyone came off the boat. And then the last was the sergeant, one of the head of this troop, whatever it was. And the parents run over. Where, you know, we've been waiting. Who are you? And they say their name. Our son Jimmy. And they see, he just puts his head down. He looks down. He says, "We just spoke to him a week ago." He says, "Yeah, he was. I don't know how to tell this to you. You know, your son, he lived through the war. He had some difficult battles. He might have, he was injured somewhat, but he lived. And then, just a couple days ago, he passed. We're so sorry. But we have him. We're going to, you know, at least you get to bury him. And you'll see his casket's coming off the boat soon." And they bring this casket off the boat, and they look inside, and they see their son. They see Jimmy's face. And then they look down and they see that he's missing one leg completely, and half of his other leg, and one arm completely. And the father understands. The father put it together and understood what happened, and how Jimmy just gave up hope after hearing his father, what he said, not wanting that friend in their home. Jimmy didn't understand something. Jimmy didn't understand the tremendous, incredible love a father towards a child. And that his father never would have said anything, never would have blinked if he understood that it was Jimmy. And so to each and every one of us. It might be true that throughout the year, we don't always live up to who we want to be, who we feel we can be, the times when we do, the times when we don't. But no, yes, and Rosh Hashanah is coming. It's real. There's no way to, you know, we're not here to wash that and make it feel. Rosh Hashanah is coming, and it's the day of judgment. The day of judgment, the day of decisions for the upcoming year, it's real. But don't forget who the judge is. The judge is our Father. And our Father loves each and every one of us. And our Father is the one who created this day, Rosh Hashanah. And He created it not to make it difficult for us, but as the Sefer HaChinuch says, He created the day to wash all our tainted stains away, to cleanse us, to purify us, to give us the mikvah. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's amazing. It's a schus. Let's take these days and take them seriously, but with a big smile on our face. We should be dancing every day of Elul. What an opportunity we have. It's real, but it's opportunity. And Sefer Chinuch brings down a famous Gemara as well, where the Gemara asks, "Amar Malachi Asher Aslanei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'in Yisrael Mahalo B'Rashanim Yom Kippur." The Malachim say, "Why don't we say Halo B'Rashanim Kippur?" And the answer is, we're not going to say Halo when Sefer Chaim, Sefer Meis, and Tzuchim. Because there's a seriousness to the day that's real. And that's part of the day. But the question was asked. There was a havamina to say hallel. You know why? Because it's a yontiv and it's a beautiful day and it's awesome. And Hashem's giving us this beautiful opportunity. Okay, we can't forget the seriousness as well. And we're going to be in shul, we're going to daven. And we're going to prepare. But with a big smile, because we know the judge is our Father. And that's awesome. And that's what Elul, Ani Lado Dividuli, to reconnect to our Father in the most beautiful of ways. And know that Hashem loves us. And I know sometimes we don't live up to who we're supposed to be. And sometimes we don't feel that Hashem's living up to His side. Sometimes I feel, I look back and the year wasn't what I wanted it to be. Why is my Father not taking care of me? Sometimes it feels that way as well. Sometimes we feel that it was a very difficult year. First of all, we have to always remember the Father is the Father of the whole world and has a much bigger picture than we ever know. And we have a very limited view. But also don't forget, Shana is in the same shoresh as Shinoi. Shinoi means to change. Rosh Hashanah is not just the beginning of the year, it's Rosh Hashinoi. So whatever it was until now is going to be a whole new year, a whole new world. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. But how are we going to get there? We understand the love has for us, and we show Hashem that love back through our mitzvos, through our Torah, through looking in the mirror, and each and every one of us in our individualized ways, reconnecting to Hashem. But don't worry, you don't have to do it b'pachad. You have to do it b'simcha. Because Hashem's giving us yontif because He loves us. And we ask Hashem, then it will be a year of simcha, a year of bracha, each and every one of us, each and every one of you. A year of simcha, a year of bracha, a year of Yeshua, a year of refuah, a year of kirvas elikim in every way, a year where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only are we zoicha to walk in front of Him once a year, but we'll be zoicha to Beit HaMikdash with the Gula Shleimo, with the Gula and the Gila Yishchina, Mashiach Tzokeinu, B'mher V'Yameinu, and have a good vach, until we learn again B'karav Bez Hashem.